Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 5, Karma Yoga, Action, Krishna Consciousness, text number 16. Jnanena tutat agyanam yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham aditya vajyanam prakashiti tatparam jnanena. By knowledge, to, but, tat, that, agyanam, nescience, yesham, whose, nashitam, is destroyed, atmanaha, of the living entity, tesham, there, adityavat, like the rising sun, jnanam, knowledge, prakashyati, discloses, tatparam, Krishna consciousness. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Those who have forgotten Krishna must certainly be bewildered, but those who are in Krishna consciousness are not bewildered at all. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvam Jnana Plane Vaiva, Jnanagni Sarvakaramani, and Nahi Jnanena Sadrisham. Knowledge is always highly esteemed. And what is that knowledge? Perfect knowledge is achieved when one surrenders unto Krishna. As it is said in the 7th chapter, verse 19, or 19th verse, Bonam janmanamante jnanamamam pravadyate. After passing through many births, when one perfect in knowledge surrenders unto Krishna, or when one attains Krishna consciousness, then everything is revealed to him as everything is revealed by the sun in the daytime. The living entity is bewildered in so many ways. For instance, when he unceremoniously thinks himself God, he actually falls into the last snare of nescience. If a living entity is God, then how can he become bewildered by nescience? Does God become bewildered by nescience? If so, then nescience, or Satan, is greater than God. Real knowledge can be obtained from a person who is in perfect Krishna consciousness. Therefore, one has to seek out such a bona fide spiritual master and under him learn what Krishna consciousness is, for Krishna consciousness will certainly drive away all nescience as the sun drives away darkness. Even though a person may be in full knowledge that he is not this body but is transcendental to the body, he still may not be able to discriminate between the soul and the super soul. However, he can know everything well if he cares to take shelter of the perfect, bona fide Krishna conscious spiritual master. One can know God and one's relation with God only when one actually meets a representative of God. A representative of God never claims that he is God, although he is paid all the respect ordinarily paid to God, because he has knowledge of God. One has to learn the distinction between God and the living entity. Lord Sri Krishna therefore stated in the second canto, 2:12, that every living being is individual and that the Lord is also individual. They were all individuals in the past, they were individuals at present, and they will continue to be individuals in the future, even after liberation. At night we see everything as one in the darkness, but in day when the sun is up, we see everything in its real identity. Identity with individuality and spiritual life is real knowledge. Jnanena tutat agyanam yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham aditya vajyanam prakashiti tatparam. One, however, when is enlightened with the knowledge by which nations is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. Well, this is following all the verses in Bhagavad Gita are all flowing in a consistent manner. And this particular verse flows from the last verse that tells us that everything depends upon our desiring. But we also know that our desire depends upon our knowledge. And knowledge, real knowledge, comes in three phases. Knowledge of that we're not this body. So we actually knew we're not this body, then we wouldn't get involved in many things, if we actually realize it. If we theoretically understand it, still, we may not take it very seriously. And knowledge of the supersoul. Now the supersoul is not, just like knowledge of ourselves, is not something distant, something really theoretical. It's actually very simple. Now, because we don't find it simple, that means we're complicated, that's all. That means we're bewildered by our illusory energy. Our intelligence is bewildered, our minds are bewildered, our activities are bewildered, because we don't find it, that's the symptom of not finding it very simple. That the body's changing, but we're not changing. So, the most obvious fact, there's nothing more obvious to the soul than the fact that he exists. Now we find that complicated, it means we're an illusion, that's all. I mean, the fact is we are an illusion, so we probably will find it complicated. It shouldn't be surprising to us. Simple, anyone will say, oh, that's very simple. Matter of fact, we get bored hearing it. The body's changing, that's right, and I'm not sure. But we don't take it very seriously, that's all. If we realize it, we'd be prasanatma. We'd be always joyful. We would never lament. We have no fear. I wonder if anyone has any fear here sometimes. Any anxiety. What's going to happen? Coronavirus is going to sneak into the building and kill us. And if we understood the super soul, then we know that he's directing our wanderings. At every moment, whatever we can remember, whatever we forget, whatever awareness we have is all coming from him, based upon, of course, our surrender. But in any case, we're completely dependent upon him. How much of us are conscious throughout the day that we're completely dependent upon Krishna for everything we're doing? How much of us, how often do we ask permission from Krishna to do something, to think something, to say something? So that's super soul. And then there is Bhagavan realization. Krishna, the unlimitedly attractive personality. How many of us feel ever-growing love and enthusiasm to serve him? So that's knowledge. Now, we may understand that we're a little far away from knowledge. Now, if you think we have knowledge, we're really in trouble. Especially when we're covered by avidya. If we think we have knowledge, then we're in trouble. We have some theoretical knowledge and some realized knowledge, but that doesn't mean we have the whole complete picture yet. We don't even have the complete picture of that I'm not this body. What to speak of the fact that Krishna is always guiding me? What to speak of understanding how attractive Krishna is? Just think of, with, as Krishna says, yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam shrimat orjitam evava tatta evava gachetvam Mamate tamcha sambhavan. That know that all beautiful and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. Ataiva bhavanaitena kim gyatena twar arjuna vishtabraham idam kritsnam ekam sena sitojagat. That with amsa, a little particle of myself, I'm pervading and supporting the entire creation. Think of how Krishna is in every atom. Well, we don't even know what an atom is, but somewhere around here, he's everywhere. He knows everything past, present, and future. Not only in this one little universe, but in the unlimited universes, which are considered to be like, each universe is like a mustard seed, if you know what a mustard seed is, and in a big bag of mustard seeds. And he's in every atom, in every universe, and him inside of Krishna is all the universes. So try to figure that out. And we think we're almost Krishna conscious. Just a few days left and we'll be right there shaking hands with Krishna. Congratulations. It took you a week, but it was all right. You were patient. Oh. Now, our desires will determine what kind of knowledge we're going to receive from Krishna. And the knowledge we receive from Krishna should change our desires. As a matter of fact, if we realize we're not this body, or those who realize they're not their body, even when they're impersonalists, their desires are completely changed. And one who realizes Super Soul, his desires change. And one who realizes Krishna, then of course one's desires completely change. There's a big gulf between realizing the Super Soul like Swamika Rishi is different from just understanding the Super Soul as the yogis do. But to realize the Super Soul as Kardama Muni realized the Super Soul, or as Swamika Rishi realized the Super Soul, is different from the ordinary yogi realizes the Super Soul, that Krishna and the Super Soul are one. Sarva Bhuta Sitam Yomam Vajantye Katma Mastita Sarvata Vatmanonu Pi Si Yogi Mayavartate. The yogi knows that I and the Super Soul dwelling within all beings are one, worships me and remains always in me in all circumstances. So desire is important, and part of our desire is to understand what our position is. If we don't understand what our position is, then we won't be able to take the next step to get to a higher platform. If we don't really see things with a vision of where we are and what the goal is, then we forget and everything becomes quite ordinary. Thinking, well, Krishna consciousness, you know, it's just a little bit better than my present consciousness. Maybe when I meet Krishna, I'll become a little bit more enlivened. We have to understand the whole picture, try to get some vision, first of all, how fallen we are. If we don't realize how fallen we are, then we'll mistake what being elevated is. If we think we're elevated when we're actually fallen, then we're really in trouble because we'll never understand what it means to be elevated. Therefore, we have to understand the difference between theoretical knowledge and actually realized knowledge. Now, one problem is that even those who take the position of an authority may actually believe that because they're an authority, they've been given some extra position. I was friends with all 11 acharyas, most of them, not all of them, but most of them. And after Prabhupada left, there were some devotees who took the role of initiating spiritual masters. And I was friends with them. Matter of fact, most of them I joined the movement before they joined. So one of my friends, I was quite close to, he actually was the first one to recommend me in 78 or something to take sannyas. And he was a grihastha actually. And he told me, isn't it wonderful that now that I'm an initiating guru, that now I have all the 8 mystic powers? I said, well, really? I didn't want to get too much into it. But obviously after all, he was only in the movement for 5 years when he became, imagine if you were in the movement 5 years and suddenly he had, you know, a couple of thousand disciples. He was like 20-something years old, and you have, you know, 500 women falling at your feet who are also around 20 years old. Begging for your mercy. So obviously he became a little bewildered. But he became so bewildered. The real problem was he thought he was on some special platform just because he was handing out beads and giving people mantras. Now for his disciples, it's not that those who took initiation from him, that they were necessarily wrong from worshiping him, but he was wrong taking the worship in the wrong way. And the result was that he got into difficulty because And the first thing Maya attacks is humility. If you don't realize you're fallen, when you're fallen, you think you're elevated, then you're finished. And to understand what elevation is requires some study and experience, not just study theoretically. There are many scholars who can tell you the whole philosophy from, you know, Bhagavad Gita to Ujjava Nilamani, and they know the verses of Govinda Lilamrita and others, but they have no idea what the whole thing's about. They have very little realization. But this awe and reverence and humility, unless we have that, then it means we haven't learned anything. We don't realize how wonderful Krishna is and how insignificant we are in comparison. Then we haven't learned anything. And if we don't see that there are others, like Srila Prabhupada, if we can't appreciate that he's on a whole different level of experience than we are, then it's very hard to understand. But that then we have to hear, and we have to try to at least go to the next level. In other words, we have to develop a vision to see where we're at now and where we have to go next, at least that much. To try to figure out what the whole thing's about is not going to be possible, because that takes Krishna revealing these things to us, what the whole thing is all about. And we'll never get the whole thing, because we'll never understand Krishna completely. Even Krishna doesn't understand himself completely, but to the best of our ability. And then, at least we should go to the next step of knowledge, which comes in three phases. At least we should try to understand that I'm not this body. We should understand how Krishna is guiding us, so we can take his shelter and his guidance. We can refer to him when we have to decide something. What would you like me to do? What would my spiritual, we can inquire from him, what would my spiritual master or the other authorities want me to do? So we can ask him, and then he can give us an answer if he wants to. If we never ask him, he'll never give us an answer. He doesn't, you know. If we think we already know the answer, then why will Krishna tell it, despoil, interfere with our life, our free will? He'll never give. We have to inquire sincerely. Not that Krishna, maybe you have your opinion. Maybe you can give me your opinion. I'm sorry. Can you give me another opinion? It's not the one I was looking for. That's still not it. You're supposed to be the super soul. What's wrong with you? Don't you know what I want? No, if we sincerely inquire, then Krishna will help us. And if we never sincerely inquire and never put it into practice, then we'll never understand how Krishna is with us. We don't rely upon him. That's why book distribution is always considered a very important service, at least for the individual purification, because most of the time you have no choice but to rely upon Krishna. You have no idea who this person is. The person has no idea who you are. And suddenly you have to make a relationship within one second. Otherwise you might as well forget about, you know, selling a book to them. Of course, if you get too familiar with it, you become an expert salesman, and you don't realize it's a relation between oneself and the supersoul, and the person relationship with the supersoul. Then it becomes a mechanical sales, and then one might not develop Krishna consciousness. But if one actually becomes very expert in Krishna consciousness, then one can understand how much dependent we are on the supersoul by putting ourselves in such a position. Then to realize how sweet Krishna is, that may take some time to actually experience Krishna. But Krishna is very merciful. If we actually pray for the higher taste, pray for some experience what Krishna is like, then he'll actually give it to us. That's what the Hare Krishna mantra is supposed to be about. That's what we're supposed to be praying for. So that when we chant Hare Krishna, we experience Krishna and Srimati Radharani and their internal energy, the name, form, quality, and pastimes. And if we think it's just some duty I'm supposed to get through with so I can begin my life again, then we'll never appreciate the value of the holy name. In any case, if we can get some mercy on one of those three levels, to realize we're not this body, and try to live life in such a way as to utilize the body in Krishna's service, to realize how Paramatma can guide us in that service, and how loving Krishna will actually bring about the highest experience we can have. So to understand that, then we can orientate our desires in that direction, and then Krishna will give us some realization. Tesham adityavaj jnanam prakashiti tatparam. Then Krishna will reveal himself to some degree, either as Brahman or as Paramatma or as Bhagavan. And then our desires will be corrected. We'll be orientating our desires better. Not perfectly at once, but better. And as we orientate our desires and our lives become properly, then our lives become successful on all different levels. That takes practice and experience. And we have to learn, the emphasis is on hearing Prabhupada's books. Why? Because Prabhupada had the complete picture. And all of us, if we're not on Prabhupada's level, we only have part of the picture. Maybe more of the picture, we can explain something, because if you're on the bottom of a mountain and someone's on the, you know, higher than you are, they can tell you a little bit more what the Himalayas are like, if they're sufficiently higher than you are. But they're not on the top. They can just tell you better than you can, because they can see more clearly. But they can't see perfectly either, because they're not quite on the top yet. Therefore, Shiksha Guru Ke Krishna Ta Krishna Srup Antaryami Bhakta Shrestha Adui Rup. Now once you know the Super Soul, once you know the Shiksha Guru as a representative of the Super Soul, the Antaryami, the Super Soul, as a representative of Krishna, Krishna Guru Ke Ta A Jan Krishna Srup. Antaryami Bhakta Shrestha Aduri Rup. That one should know that the Shiksha Guru is a representative of Krishna. The Antaryami is the Super Soul, Krishna. He's certainly a representative of Krishna. Bhakta Shrestha, and one who's the best of the devotees, that is an Uttama Adhikari, he's also a representative of Krishna. So there are two types of Shiksha Gurus. One who's actually situated in transcendence and sees everything objectively. Objectively means as it actually is. The way, same way Krishna sees things. Same thing all the other liberated spiritual souls see things. He sees things in the same way. And there is the one who's not liberated, but he has more realization than we do. Therefore, he sees things objectively. But by experience, it becomes clearer. His vision is clearer. But it's not as perfect as the liberated spiritual master, who is actually on Prema Bhakti, or at least Baba Bhakti. Pretty clear on Baba Bhakti, too. Therefore, Prabhupada writes that the Acharya, in the true sense of the term, who's authorized to deliver Krishna, enriches his disciple with full spiritual knowledge, and thus awakens him to the activities of devotional service. So there are activities of devotional service. Now it may appear that we're performing activities, and we are performing activities in devotional service, but there's a difference between a ripe mango and a green mango. When we perform the activities with our body in devotional service, it's not as expert as a liberated soul, nor with our minds, nor with our intelligence, as we'll find out in the next verse, is tad buddhiyas, tad atmanas, tad nishtas, tad parayana. One who's actually completely absorbed with their activities, their body, their mind, their words, their faith, their refuge, everything is fixed in Krishna. So the liberated soul, he's completely fixed, completely unlimited enthusiasm, unlimited determination, unlimited awareness, all fixed in Krishna consciousness. And those who are not so liberated, we're not quite on that platform. They have some, all of us, to some degree or another, our bodies are engaged in Krishna service, our minds are engaged in Krishna service, our intelligence is engaged, we have some realizations, and our intelligence is engaged in Krishna service, our faith is in Krishna, and we're going along following the process. But we shouldn't mistake it that we've already realized the process. We're practicing so that our bodies will be more steady, our minds will become more steady, our intelligence will become more clear, our faith will become more developed, our love for Krishna will become more manifested. And we're trying to do that, and we're trying to get a vision of how to do that on every level. So if we think we have the vision, we have some vision, but we don't have a perfect vision. And if we want to make progress, we have to get a better vision. And every devotee in the society, they have an opportunity to give their vision. Everyone is supposed to be a representative in this simple succession, and they're supposed to help others by giving the best vision they can of how to improve our activities of the body, our mind, our words, our faith, our refuge, everything in Krishna's service. So that our desires will be properly orientated, and therefore Krishna will reveal, give us realized knowledge, so our desires will become fixed in the proper direction. So knowledge is valued, and everyone has knowledge is valued, and that value is as much as it can actually orientate our desires to utilizing our body, mind, words, intelligence, faith, and refuge in Krishna's service. And that's open for everyone. Everyone has some realization. And the perfect knowledge is found in Prabhupada's books. Perfect example is found in Prabhupada's books. And if we can see that example in others, then we should also follow that example we see in others, but not blindly. Now, there may be authorities, and there's an etiquette in following authority, but we shouldn't blindly follow authority either. Krishna never told Arjuna, blindly follow me. Blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned, that one should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. The self-realized soul is very kind, the spiritual master is very kind to his disciple, and when the disciple is always submissive and is ready to render service, then the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries become perfect. One has to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when the spiritual master sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses him with real spiritual knowledge. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. And then it says, what's the next word? Bona fide, yeah. Therefore, when the student is submissive, it is always ready to render service, and then the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. So that's the process. We want to be submissive, but we have to be inquisitive. We have to get a clear understanding. It's not enough just to be submissive. We should see things properly, and then we should render service when we see everything. As we see things properly, then we render service, then there the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries will become perfect. Okay, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
You already answered some part of my question at the end, but I was just wondering. Basically, I was speaking with my best friend before I came to. I was just talking with him, and he said, because I said to him that this knowledge, that the first class person accepts this knowledge just by hearing it, and then isn't it? Then the lower the, or this is if we hear the knowledge, then if you accept, then we are perfect. Like this, if knowledge is right. But he was, that was the end of our conversation, because he couldn't go away. I mean, with this, that we just hear and we accept. It's like a blind following and fanatical, like you said it at the end. So how would you answer, how would you elaborate? I mean, you just said that we need inquiry and...
Well, none of us have the power to hear properly, because we're covered. So there's no question. Therefore, devotional service is always described as a gradual process. Unless you were executing it for a few million births, and you just happen to take birth in the Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like you're a Muslim, you know, governor, and you're across the river, and you hear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has arrived. And therefore, although you're a meat-eater and you're a sinful person, you spend the last million lives practicing Krishna consciousness just to take birth in Chaitanya Leela. And so when you hear from your assistant that, you know, he's gone across the river, he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's completely in ecstasy, and he's rolling on the ground, you become a little curious to find out, what would it be like to go and see this person? So then you go and see him, and you're completely overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy. So it seems like, you know, big transformation from a meat eater and governor, Muslim governor. Suddenly you're, you know, complete ecstasy, and you've surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is Leela. This is not ordinary. It doesn't happen to us. We don't walk into the temple one day and we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and, you know, we have these seven different Satvika Bhavas manifest, 32 Vyabhichari Bhaktas, and our Sthayi Bhava is revealed, and we just start rolling on the ground, screaming and crying, and it doesn't happen. No, we can only hear so much, and out of what we hear, we only even can remember a very small fraction of that. As far as what we remember, we only accept even a smaller fraction of that. And of that which we actually accept, we only remember to apply it sometimes in our lives. And so then a little bit is revealed to us, and that keeps us going. That's why we're still here. We have to get some taste. Otherwise, we'd be out there chasing illusion like everyone else is. Because at least there's a drop in the desert. If we don't get a drop here, we'll look for it in the desert. But it's not so easy, you know. The knowledge we have, though, can be explained in such ways that any intelligent person will immediately accept it. But people are not very intelligent, so we don't expect that. Even we ourselves, we can explain it, and it's very simple and clear. Still, we're not so intelligent to actually realize it or even apply it. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Last month, I was asked a question by a person who is well versed in Indian culture. He's from India himself, you know, Sanskrit, but he's sort of a fence straddler. He's committed, but then reconsidered, then again he seems to be trying to commit. So he asked me a question that might sound somewhat challenging, but it seems to be a legitimate question. He asked me, do you know any living person who is in full Krishna consciousness, or who is in full realization of Krishna, or in who? I don't remember exactly his wording, but similar to what you were discussing, that one who is really Krishna conscious. How will you answer such? I answer that I know several.
Oh, that's quite generous.
And then he said, what are their names? I said, I can tell him privately, but this is not for a public class to discuss.
Yeah, I mean, we have our understanding, you know, as well as our sentiments. But as far as how would I answer? Well, Krishna is still alive. All our acharyas are alive. And they're all all our acharyas are alive. The whole spiritual world, they're all alive. So it's quite a number. Now the question is your access to them. You can also have access to them. But you have to understand that they're alive. Otherwise, you won't even bother trying to... If you see a dead body, you probably won't talk to it. If it starts moving, gets up, then you might really, you know, you might ask it some questions. So Krishna's there. He's in our heart. He's so close. He's closer to anyone. You can ask him for a question, and he'll answer you. It's not so difficult. If you're sincerely asking him. If you doubt him, I dare you to answer me. And on faith also and desire. But he's there and he's willing to answer. Tesham sadadam yukdanam. The dami buddhi yogam dham. But you have to become qualified to hear the answer. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandaraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.